Real quick, is there any irony that a Frenchman is the defensive player of the year? Like, I figure, like, you know, you just picture him, Rudy, maybe sitting in the lane handing out cigarettes to guys as they went by. But four-time defensive player of the year.
That distracts him, and he can get a little steal.
Yeah. He just looks really nice. Like, you know, hey, I'm not trying to do anything. And then, bow, send it back.
I had a get old moment this weekend.
What's that?
So I was out for the big fight, Canelo versus Jaime Munguia. Went to a bar, met some friends. They said it was a $10 cover because they got the fight. Now, do you think I paid in cash, credit, or check?
I don't think you'd be bringing this up unless you use check.
I didn't use check. But I use cash. They don't do cash anymore. It's like credit.
Cashless.
Yeah, I didn't. I guess I haven't been out in a while. I didn't know that. You don't grease the doorman with some like cold hard cash. You just
cash is a novelty these days. I feel like you. But I feel like it's the seat. To your point, there's always good ways to use cash. Greasing the bouncer, great way. Doing a little tip for someone you're going to see in the future, great way.
So that was my get old moment. You know who else had a get old moment? The Denver Nuggets, because they got blown out by the T-Wolves on Tuesday. Only scored 80 points. T-Wolves up 2-0. Hello and welcome to Big Ben and K Win on NoFilter.net, YouTube, Caffeine TV. More of an audio podcast. Don't worry. Download, listen, and subscribe wherever you get your audio podcast. Tonight on the West Coast Swing. Thursday, May 9th, we're going to talk about the T-Wolves, Rudy Gobert. We're going to stack rank some sports teams in L.A., talk a little Major League Baseball, and more. I'm Kay when he's Big Ben, and he wants Drake to apologize to Kendrick.
Everyone's taking that. I mean, I read through an iteration of, like, an article that someone broke down, and I'm scrolling through it. It's 34 pages of what's gone down. Like it's literally a Netflix drama already that is yet to been produced because I can't keep up with it. So I just stopped. I did see that UCLA used the barbs going on to throw a diss at USC.
Love that.
Which I didn't understand. I did not understand.
I don't even understand this beef, to be quite honest, but.
Is there a comp? Let's talk, since we're talking NBA, an NBA beef that would have to take place. That'd be a Lamar and Drake.
So you're talking about, I mean, the three best in the game right now, in my opinion, are J. Cole, Kendrick, and Drake. So, I mean, it would almost have to be like a Anthony Edwards versus Shea battle, which we might see in the Western Conference Finals.
There you go. I don't get the rap beef, so I can't comment any further than I already did. But I can comment on the Timberwolves.
All right. What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about I don't know if they're surprising teams. Like there's just all of a sudden like everything's fit. They're healthy too. And Nas, Mr. Sixth Man of the Year. I mean, he's the most polarizing figure of the whole team. Because you see him in the second team almost take the ball up. He's good in transition. He's almost this, I guess, more larger in figure, Draymond Green.
Yeah. Shoot the 3-2.
And a guy you obviously aren't, you don't look out on the floor and go, that guy's going to hurt us. But he does. And then sneaky Rudy and Ant. And Jaden McDaniels. Plays D. I think
shut down Jamal Murray so far.
Yeah. I mean, when they want to play, I think it's just a matter of players' willingness to play D. Like sacrifice offense for defense. Like block out and go get the ball rather than run down and try to get in transition. I think Minnesota's just been willing to do that more so than any team. And the Nuggets are tired. Listen, Joker's physical makeup, if you look at him, not saying it hasn't worked in the past, but I think he's just out of gas, along with Jamal Murray, who's been hurt. And I don't think they have a number three that can really carry him.
They don't. And it comes down to Minnesota's the best defensive team in the league in the regular season, best defensive team in the playoffs. And it all comes down to Rudy Gobert. I want to take you back. Two summers ago, July 2022, the Jazz and the T-Wolves made a trade. It was Rudy Gobert for four players, one player with the draft rights, and four, that's right, four first-round picks. Everyone's like, that's never going to work. What are you doing? Why are you going after a player who's a seven-footer? You have a seven-footer. The league's gone smaller, shooting threes. I want to say it here and right now. That trade will be remembered as the end of the Denver Nuggets dynasty.
That simple trade.
One-on-one with the Joker and allow McDaniels to guard Murray, Edwards to get in people. He's built a defensive culture. And it reminds me of 2020. There was another tall seven-footer from Kentucky that didn't want to bang, didn't want to play D, Anthony Davis. So they got Dwight Howard to play center, unlocked AD. Gobert is unlocked cat. He's a 41% three-point shooter from the field. He could do more on the perimeter than AD. And I think this is going to be the big difference is the defense. Cat can go out. You got 2 7-footers. You got 3 7-footers. What are you going to do?
They can match up with nearly everyone you're talking about. It. And you're right. I think that matchup with the Nuggets is Rudy's just long. He's long. And he can play out to the three-point line too. So Joker, I mean, listen, when you got a guy that's, I don't know, his wingspan's probably, what, 7'6", something in that range, maybe a little more, and you're trying to make passes, you know, that he's traditionally able to make with a different defender, Rudy disrupts, so it negates Joker. You're probably playing at like 60% with Joker at that point. That's still pretty good. But then you're right, McDaniels is able to lock up Murray, and you're done for the Nuggets.
And the biggest thing that no one's talking about, but everyone loved to bring up, is Rudy can't guard the on-ball pick. So it's drop coverage. If it's Harden or if it's Dame, they're coming on a pick. They're going after Rudy. It's a three-point shot or mid-range all the time. Well, that's because Utah's guards did not play perimeter defense. But Minnesota's guards play perimeter defense. McDaniels does. Edwards does. And they lock up everyone else. The way that Nuggets typically score, Michael Porter, open threes when you double Jokic. Aaron Gordon, lob when you double Jokic. Murray, two-man game. He can't do that because he's in jail right now with McDaniels, and it's all because of the culture that Rudy Gobert built.
Rudy built that culture.
Rudy built the defensive culture. Chris Finch said it. I'm not saying it. We all should be saying it now. Rudy Gobert, 4-time Defensive Player of the Year, and the trade that ended the Nuggets dynasty. I don't think they can come back from this. CP3 or whatever his name. KCP is a year older. Porter, Jamal Murray. I think
write him off that quickly. Let's be honest. You got Jokic, not unanimous, but he won the MVP again this year. Anytime you got the MVP on your team, you can't write him off that quickly. Now, Minnesota, here's Minnesota's credit. Jamal Murray's been banged up. Like, Denver's just been exhausted. They've gone hard the entire regular season. I think it just comes down to able bodies on their team. They were 100%. The series might look a little different. I believe the Timberwolves, Nuggets, maybe, I mean, we'll see what the Thunder do in this series. I mean, they're already up one. I mean, those are your top three teams.
Yeah.
Probably for the night. I don't want to ride off the Nuggets. It's all about matchups in the playoffs. Like, if Murray's 100% in the late
playoffs, but this is Ant's leg.
You're buying. You are buying the Timberwolves. All in. Pushing it all in.
Yeah.
All right.
I said it 3 weeks ago. I said it last week. And I'm not afraid with these Anthony Edwards, MJ comparisons. But you know why MJ's the GOAT and LeBron's not? Because no one compares Anthony Edwards to LeBron. They always compare him to MJ or Kobe. And that's who he's gunning for. And the comparisons are very similar. Our intern did a little research. In year 4, Michael Jordan, the Bulls, won their first playoff series against the Cavs. Anthony Edwards is in year four, won his first playoff series. But also in year four, Jordan was the defensive player of the year, averaged 30 points, averaged like five assists. Ant is averaging, I think, mid-20s in the regular season. His assists are down, and he definitely was not the defensive player of the year. But the big difference is, in year four, Jordan was 25. Anthony Edwards is 22. What's Ant going to look like in 3 years when he's 25?
You come up in this. Again, stay healthy, right? And the trajectory is there. I think if Rudy sticks out, and Rudy played 9 seasons with the Jazz. That's a long time. I mean, but for all intents and purposes, he's not the biggest banger. He's probably got some time left on his body. I'd say he's got another four or five, six good years. Maybe 4 good years, 6 years in total. So that's a decent sized window. But I don't think you write off the Nuggets like you said. Rudy Gobert's won it 3 times, only 3 other players, or excuse me, 4 times, only 3 other players to do so. Quick question or trivia question for you. There was one more Frenchman to win the defensive player of the year before Rudy Gobert. Who was it?
Frenchman. It's not Gasol, Mark, because he's from Spain. It's not Tony Parker because he played no defense. Wow. Wait, I'm going to go through. Kawhi, no. Giannis is Greek. Draymond.
You got to go back 10 years.
Aaron Jackson, no.
Joe Kim Noah won it.
Joe Kim Noah, wow. That's
a 14. But here's my thing about Rudy Gobert, the most polarizing guy in the NBA. From the whole COVID thing to he licked some microphones at one point. He was in the news for all the wrong reasons, and now he's riding the ship collectively. I'm interested to see how they're up 2-0. You're right. They just cemented it with 80 points for an NBA team. You see teams put that up in 3 quarters easily.
And they won game 2 without Rudy. I know the Nuggets are banged up. I know Jamal's banged up. But the defensive player of the year and 5 fouls that usually go to Jokic were away. That's why I think Minnesota's going to ride this momentum. I don't think Denver's going to go down, but I think Minnesota wins in either 5 or 6.
You're pushing all in. I'll put a decent stack. I don't know if I can put it all in yet, especially if they play the Thunder next round.
Fair enough. Where do you want to go next?
All right. I want to talk a little bit about spring games have been played. Okay. There's
spring
a transition.
Spring training.
Spring training's over. Spring football came and went. Rosters aren't quite yet set. There's still some transfer portal stuff going on. UCLA and USC have made the transition. I want to focus on the LA teams because they were they started this whole locomotive on the way to the Big Ten. Now, you look at, I think you have 2 teams in vastly different situations. You have USC, who's going to come in with a pretty good roster already. Lincoln Riley, probably top 10 projected. And they have teams coming in. So here's the teams coming in this year for USC. They got Wisconsin. Okay. I might want to watch them play. Penn State is going to be an intriguing game. I'm going to want to potentially go watch. Nebraska with Matt Rhule is going to be somewhat interesting. Rutgers is coming into town. They might still be sleeping during the game, so that's an auto win. And then you got LSU in Vegas. Like, if you're a Trojan fan, you're looking forward to this. Now, UCLA. You got a new coach, Deshaun Foster. Eric Bieniemy is your offensive coordinator. How'd that happen and where'd that come from? I have no idea. No idea.
No, he's out of the NFL.
Exactly. No idea where there. I didn't know that UCLA was a Jordan brand college now. So that's weird to me because I think, honestly, Jordan brand helped Michigan win this last year's. Seriously. Like, you go back, remember 3 or 4 years ago where players were literally choosing based on uniforms? That's how Oregon got so stocked. And then, like, Oklahoma was getting a lot of players because they were Jordan brand. Nonetheless, but here's who's coming to UCLA. Indiana. Minnesota. Iowa. Fresno State. And you go to Rutgers. Yeah, exactly. If you're a Bruins fan, that's a travesty. So my question to you is, you're an LA guy. we've always talked about there's things to do on Saturdays in LA besides go to the Rose Bowl and watch a game. Are you going to any of these games? Like, and is there any difference? Like, I look at a schedule of home schedule of Indiana, Minnesota, Iowa, and Fresno State. Would you have rather had Arizona State, Washington State, Cal, and Washington?
No, like I like Big Ten because I believe they also play Penn State and they play Michigan. It's away games. Give me the total package. I'm not just focusing on the home games. I'm focusing on the away games. I'm focusing on the Vegas games. Yes, as a USC fan or alum, I'm excited. But I will tell you this. The spring game was April 20th, same weekend as the second weekend of Coachella. There are more people listening to this podcast than went to that spring game. But Miller Moss, I believe, is a front runner for the quarterback. Lincoln Riley got some players in the transfer portal. They will be exciting. UCLA has always been second fiddle in LA. And I think it hurts them to go to the Big Ten, actually. I think they'll still be able to recruit some kids, but I don't think they'll be able to win on a big level, a big time program like when they did, when they had Troy Aikman. I think that's the last time they were great.
I think that, so I bring this up because I think there's a lot of things going on in LA. You got Harbaugh coming to the Chargers.
Oh, yeah.
The forgotten NFL, second NFL team in LA. You have McVay and the Rams. They won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. They're still relevant. You have Ohtani and the Dodgers, which, I mean, they're the equivalent of a super team in the major league, in like the equivalency of the super team.
Freddie Freeman and Ohtani.
You got LeBron watch. You got a brand new facility or arena for the Clippers. Like, where are you spending your time? And will these teams outside of the alumni? Let's outside of the alumni, UCLA and USC alumni, a lot of alumni. Are they even relevant in the conversation of LA sports?
Am I ranking these teams or am I just talking?
Go ahead and stack rank them. So here, let's do it this way. Do two on top, you're going to stick with through the year. You're going to focus with, you're going to track follow. Middle three, you'll hang around. Bottom two won't even hit the airway. They won't even be relevant. They won't even be in the conversation. They won't be watched. They won't be ESPN, whatever it is. Won't watch them.
And for the colleges, I'm just saying on their football program, right?
Just on their football program.
All right. At the top, I'm going Lakers because you've got LeBron winding down his career, and there's a very good possibility that Bronny will be in LA. I think he's coming. He wants to play with his dad, but he also wants to play against his godfather, CP3. CP3 doesn't have that many years left. So we got Lakers and Dodgers. Dodgers, they've got the big three. They got Ohtani. They're going to put up all these offensive numbers. It's fun to watch, and it's great to hang out with a Modelo and some peanuts and a hot dog in Chavez Ravine. So that's the top two. I'm going to go all the way to the bottom. It's UCLA football, and I hate to say it, Clippers fans, but it's Los Angeles Clippers basketball. I don't know what you're going to do with an aging Harden, Kawhi, whose knee isn't healthy, it's inflamed. Paul George could opt out. He can opt out. Even if he opts in, this Clippers team hasn't proven they can beat anyone. So they're at the bottom. In the mid-tier, I got to go the Chargers. I got to go the Rams. And who's the last one? And USC football. That's my mid-tier.
Okay, no surprises there. No surprises there. Maybe. I guess I would be intrigued a little bit about how either well or poorly UCLA is in the Big Ten. I think there's a first for everything, right? New conference, like new beginnings, Deshaun Foster, Jordan brand team. Like, what if Jordan rips off, you know, takes the branding back midway through the season if they're horrible? But I get you. I envy you because there is a lot of going on in LA. And you got a lot going on in terms of, I think, relevant sports teams. Even the Clippers. Like, new arena, Ballmer's going to put a team out there no matter what. He's gonna. I don't think he lets the Clippers stink that horribly.
No, he's gonna do whatever he has to do to make sure the Clippers are in the playoffs and competitive in the playoffs. I just don't think that they have any title chances. I think they're in the playoffs and they're out. Grand opening, grand closing.
All right, last thing before we get out of here. I want to look at the standings in Major League Baseball. We've played about, what, a quarter of the season? A quarter of the season way through?
Yeah.
And I want you to tell me, and I'm just going to focus on the West Coast teams here.
Okay.
Mainly the National League. Let's just do National League and American League West. So let's start in the American League West, because I know this is going to tickle you too much. Here's the standings. I want you to tell me if these are close or far away from where we're going to see at the end of the season. Texas Rangers are sitting at 22-17 with a run differential of plus 29. Mariners at 20-18, one and a half games back, plus two run differential. Oakland Athletics at 18-21, four games back, minus 28 run differential, but 6-4 in the last 10. Los Angeles Angels at 14-23 and negative 34 run differential, and Houston Astros at 13-24, negative 31 run differential. Does it look like that at all?
This is the year. Cover your ears, Mariners fans. The Mariners are going to win the AL West, and there's no K-win jinx here. Don't be fooled by the box score and all those 100 and 230 averages. It's all about pitching. I believe they're top five in ERA, top five in WHIP, top five in opponents average. You've got Luis Castillo, Logan Gilbert, Bryce Miller, and George Kirby. They're going to carry the M's to the AL West. The Astros, this is the year. They don't do anything. The Angels, Trout's out, Rendon's out. The A's, they're just waiting to get to Vegas. And the Rangers are still good, but they have a little bit of a champagne hangover going on right now. So I got the Mariners winning the AL West.
Oh, gosh. I hate that. I should have covered my ears. Okay, I get the rationale. End-to-end, top-tier.
It hasn't even started hitting yet.
I know. That's the thing is I got – we were all complaining. We're like, this is horrible. And then – This rational kind of message came out and said, look at the averages of our top five players.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be on our team if they continued like this. Like there's no way they hit this poorly. And we've seen it turn around. They got shellacked 3 out of 4 by the Twins most recently, but you're right. The rotation is
cold. It's damp. It's dreary. And that ball does not go anywhere in the months of April and May. So if you're in the race early, when it heats up, those bats are going to heat up in Seattle.
Yeah, I agree. I love it. All right, I'll come back to you in about 6 weeks when I need some fresh or new rejuvenation of Mariners fans. All right, let's go to the NL West now. I'll start at the bottom. The Rockies, dismal, 16 games back. They're done. 9-28. Yet to hit double figures through 37 games. Here's the interesting part. Okay, the Giants, 17-22, negative 42 run differential. Just getting beat up on in games they lose. Arizona, 18-20, plus 13. Pods, 20-20, right at 500. And Dodgers at 26-13. Anything change?
Now, the Dodgers are going to win it because of their bats and their talent. I know they're getting a lot of injuries, but Walker Buehler's back, first time in 2 years. Clayton Kershaw's got to come back. Dodgers win it with their bats. And the Rockies are awful. They're one of the worst teams in baseball. It's between them and the White Sox. So the top and the bottom is going to stay the same. 2, 3, and 4 is going to rotate a little bit, but I got to give the edge to either the Diamondbacks or the Padres. I'm just not sold on the Giants. I know they signed Blake Snell, but he started off slow, didn't get enough spring training. And I think the games in April and May are going to count later in the year, and I don't think the Giants are going to be able to make up enough ground. So give me the Pods as the other team making the wild card out of that division.
Love it. All right. Let's get out of here.
I got one more thing. We got a big day coming up on Saturday, huge day. Now, we can't talk a lot about basketball because there's no more West Coast basketball teams left. Baseball, there's these two high school phenoms that are in the bigs. And this Saturday, Paul Skies is taking the hit for the Pittsburgh
and Pirates. His stash.
Amazing stash. Amazing stuff. 100-mile-an-hour fastball. He's got a slider. He's got a splitter. He's got a change. He's got 4-plus pitches. He's from El Toro High School in Southern California. Same high school that produced Nolan Arenado and Matt Chapman. And he's joining another rookie, Jared Jones, on the Pirates. It's two rookies, both from California. Jared Jones from Whittier, California. Why I'm so excited? These are two of the most prolific pitchers, the greatest pitchers potentially that we've seen to come on the stage since Kerry Wood and Mark Pryor. That's how good these guys are. Potential in the front end of the rotation. And it's kind of ironic because Paul's first game is Saturday against the Cubs. They're going to strike out a lot of players. They just need some bats. But we're about to adopt Pittsburgh because it's going to be exciting.
So if Paul just absolutely does atrociously in his first start, we'll know the K-win jinx is true. But he's, from what I've heard, Kirk Gin and all these baseball talking heads, he's the real deal.
Yeah.
He's phenomenal. I'll tune into that. Just to see the stash.
You should see the stash.
I'm a big stash guy. I'm a big stash guy. All right, let's get out of here. Big Ben K win. What time is that game on?
I don't know. It's in Pittsburgh, so probably 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. You take us out of here. I'll find out what time that game is.
Okay, Big Ben K win. Find us wherever you get your podcasts. Oh, that's a Stitcher. That's your Spotify. That's your Apple iTunes. Make sure to download, subscribe, rate us. All is appreciated. And then you can find us on, are we still on TikTok? We're on TikTok. We're on Instagram. We're on Threads. We're on X. We're on all your social media. Follow, subscribe, comment as you would. And, we appreciate you listening. We're done. We're through.
All means the game is at 1 o'clock Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. If Big Ben up and get Root Pittsburgh, subscribe to that media channel. We could actually watch it and stream live.
Boom. Let's do it. All right.
Boom.